Thank you, Tom. So Kathy and I are going to take turns, and we hope it reflects the partnership on this program, although our third partner, Mayor Townsend, couldn't be here. This project's entitled Improving Physical Activity Options for Seniors and Persons with Disabilities in a Rural Town. It was a community engagement project. Our other collaborators are Ninia Bear, Barbara Moore at Montana State University. They work with Kathy through the Nutrition and Physical Activity Program. And then, sure. And then, thanks. Yeah, that's much better. And then my colleagues at the Rural Institute on Disabilities at the University of Montana, Kathy, Lauren, and Jillian Jerica from the Montech program, also were our collaborators. Just, oh, look at this. It's like karaoke. Okay, everybody. Let's see. So our work is funded through cooperative agreements between the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the Montana Department of Public Health and Human Services. Our opinions expressed are ours and do not necessarily reflect those of the CDC, and we have no relationships to disclose.
Hey, Meg,
yeah.
You gotta use the other computer. It doesn't advance.
Oh,
unless
right.
It advances.
Oh, that's right.
Okay.
You can move the screen around, it'll pivot.
Terrific, thanks. Okay, so this work focused specifically on improving physical activity options on a trail in Three Forks, Montana. And I think it's important to note that independent living has been improving access of community environments since at least 1988, if not earlier, recognizing the curb cuts established in Berkeley in the 70s. And I just wanted to acknowledge that work as a contributory, as I'll talk about later. This photo is a Tom Olin photo depicting advocacy actions in LA that led to curb cuts there in the 80s. So why is our project different? Well, it's a public health approach to changing the environment. The partnership, I think, is unique, and some of the project tools that we identified, adopted, and developed for the project reflected the interests and capacity of these unique partners. And why is it relevant? The U.S. Access Guidelines for Developed Outdoor Areas are still in draft form, but they are very instructive for people who are changing the built environment to improve physical activity options on how to do that so it's benefiting all citizens. So those are expected out in 2011. We know that there are higher rates of obesity among rural adults, 27.4% versus 23.9% among urban counterparts. Healthy People 2010 Objective 22.1 is to reduce the number of adults who engage in no leisure time activity to 20%. In our state, we're doing pretty well for folks without disabilities, but we still have a lot of work to do. 34% of Montanans with disabilities are reporting no leisure time activity. And finally, the reason we're doing this project is that both people with disabilities and rural residents experience environmental factors that place them at risk for inactivity and related chronic conditions. And fewer options for physical activity is just one of the problems there. So Three Forks, Montana. If you're driving through Montana on I-90 going west, it's about 30, 40 miles west of Bozeman, and you'll see a great big, great Wheat, Montana kind of establishment at the bakery. And on your right, that's your exit. And what's in a name? What is Three Forks? Thought I'd just make this this metaphor. It's the headwaters of the Missouri River. It's the confluence of three rivers, the Jefferson, Madison, and Gallatin. And this project was really a confluence, pooling resources of the Montana Nutrition and Physical Activity Program, the Montana Disability and Health Program, and the City of Three Forks. And I think it's important to note that any river starts in a snowfield and leads to creeks. And I want to talk about that each of the partners has capacity that's built on our contributors, our inputs, and Kathy is going to talk about those for the Montana Nutrition and Physical Activity Program. Okay, thank you. It's great to be here today. And the Montana Nutrition and Physical Activity Program is a CDC-funded project. There are 25 other states that have this project funded. It's basically an obesity prevention program. But the thing that's different about it is that we work on policy systems and environmental change. So we are not doing programs to get people more physically active. We're actually trying to change the environment that makes it easier for them to do that. So access is a huge part of our program. And that's kind of what brought Meg and I together. We've partnered on other statewide planning, like the cardiovascular health and the obesity prevention plan that we worked on together, and that's how we met. And we'll talk a little bit later about how we've partnered in the past. As I said, our program resides at MSU Bozeman, Montana State University Bozeman. We are in a contract with the State Health Department to fulfill this grant. We work statewide. But at MSU, we have a lot of partners that we work with on a regular basis. Team Nutrition is one of them. Extension Service is another one. The Rural Health, the Office of Rural Health and the Area Health Education Program. And we've all kind of come together at one point and realized that there's a lot of, Montana is a huge rural state, and we really need to better understand how to help these rural environments become more accessible, you know, have better access to physical activity opportunities and healthy eating opportunities. So we came together a few years ago and developed something called the Rural Health Initiative. So it brings a lot of partners together to work together towards improving information and a technical assistance to our rural communities, and that's what the Rural Health Initiative is. And then we have been talking with Gene Townsend, who's the mayor of Three Forks, about trails in smaller communities, because we have found that that's something that the smaller communities were starting to do, is to develop trail systems to improve physical activity opportunities. And Gene, because most of the rural communities in our state have a high population of seniors and people with disabilities as well, he came to us and said, I'd really like to better understand how I could help. I see a lot of people out there with arthritis and walkers, and I really want to understand better how to make my trail more accessible. So he came to us. They have a vision for this trail system to connect, you know, not only their own community, but to connect other communities. And he's really a champion in this, and he's got a lot of in-kind contributions by other people. You know, he's got a buddy that goes out at 5 in the morning and paves the, you know, or plows the trail in the winter, and, you know, and lays down pavement. And it's an amazing little town. And so I think that's about all I'll say on that. So just a little bit about the Montana Disability and Health Program. We, like NAPA, are a CDC-funded program that creates a focal point in the state to improve the health of people with disabilities. We were funded, the reason the department pursued the funding competition was that in 2001, Maggie Bullock, who was the administrator, uniquely developed an Olmsted plan within the division devoted to public health and Medicaid, which was different than the Olmsted plans emerging, I think, nationally in more of the disability agencies. She has the history of being the director of the Developmental Disabilities Program and the VR before she went on to direct public health and safety, and she understood that public health had a role in meeting the integration mandate. So there's lots of objectives that were outlined in there, and she saw a disability and health program as giving legs to that plan. And one of the specific objectives in there, I'll talk about it in a minute, was a disability advisors project. At the University of Montana, we receive a contract from DPHHS to implement the program. We also have Montec, and that's been very freeing for us. Through our advisory board, we have limited resources, and we've chosen to focus in terms of environmental education and improvements on more traditional medical care facilities, fitness centers, mammography centers and the like. And having Montech, which focuses on accessible outdoor recreation, really allows us to give that away and provide technical assistance or serve to establish collaborations, and you'll see a little bit more about that. And then importantly, I always say, there would be no program in Montana without our Centers for Independent Living. And for this project, the Montana Independent Living Project was our main collaborator. The Disability Advisors Program was something that, again, was the objective in the Olmsted Plan. They wanted to see disability leaders involved in the advisory and planning committees within the Public Health and Safety Division. And our advisory board really came up with how that could happen. They laid out the steps for how we would recruit, train, and support leaders in the disability community to be involved in state-level advocacy and planning programs, and over time that has evolved into a network of disability leaders and knowledge among our public health partners of this network, and now they're all being recruited at local levels to local advisory planning committees. And if you're interested in adopting this program, we have a practice guideline on how to involve people with disabilities in advisory groups that lays out those steps. And I credit Chris Claspy, who was our disability advisor, into really turning the light on for nutrition and physical activity, why it was important to really involve people with disabilities in all their work. So, and then we have another project.
Oh, geez.
He's giving me a 10. Thanks, Tom. Montana Disability and Health Accessibility Ambassadors is our other program that relies on the capacity of the Centers for Independent Living, and that allows us to go out and train them, who these knowledgeable folks about the ADA, to do more work in terms of health facilities. And this was a project that really grew out of investment from the Christopher and Dana Reeve National Paralysis Foundation Quality of Life Grant. RERC RecTech came in and really provided technical assistance and more funding for us to be involved in the AIM-Free development, which is a tool for assessing fitness centers. And we conducted accessibility studies of fitness centers in 8 Montana communities with follow-up support and technical assistance to improve physical activity options for people with disabilities. And here the important thing is that we collaborated on the application, on the planning, on the implementation, on the follow-up with Kathy and her program.
Okay, kind of moving along here. Three Forks is a small town, less than 2,000 people, high senior population, as I said, and there are many people with disabilities in the county. This is just a picture of the mayor, he's on the right, and a 90-year-old biker who does his errands by bike around the community. So he has a little Ace Hardware bag in his hand. Just to go briefly, we're going to go through this. The project entailed a physical assessment of the trail for accessibility and group interviews to find out from people what their barriers and facilitative factors were. And we developed a report for the mayor, and then we've disseminated these results statewide through a variety of ways that we'll show you. And then we'll talk about these other aspects, promoting the trail and identifying resources.
So the physical assessment, we wanted to do two things. We wanted, like I said, to build the capacity, rely on Montech to do this work so that we're not taking that on as a disability and health program, but we also wanted to increase the capacity of the Centers for Independent Living to do this work, kind of really forge a relationship with Montech and the CILs. And so we relied on Montech to come and do the physical assessment, which involved the planning meeting, on-site assessment, and getting the GPS inputs. This is Jillian Jerica and Kathy Lauren. They're our collaborators at Montech. And so they're skilled in doing this kind of assessment and have trained the MILP staff on this type of assessment. And running in cross slopes are an important part of this kind of trail assessment. There were 4 points along the trail with slope over 8.7% or greater. And just like we heard in the medical accessibility panel earlier, it's not that we're not saying it's not accessible, but it's important for people to be able to have that information and make choices, and we'll show you how we made that information available, or Montech did. The bathrooms and bridges needed some improvement in terms of accessibility. The bridge on the going to that bathroom was done by local high school students, and the slats would allow for somebody with a cane to really fall or get injured. And so here's a threshold that could have been better. It's the lip of a bridge. And then there are two road crossings here at one point where the trail ends on the road, and for blind and sight impaired users, an indicator of crossing roads would be helpful.
Okay, so just to move quickly, we did group interviews. Meg developed the group interview guide and protocol, and we identified accessible locations. The mayor helped us recruit seniors, and the independent living MILP identified some persons with disabilities from actually three surrounding communities to come to our focus groups. And we audio recorded all the interviews and transcribed them word for word, and then went through and looked at the different themes and developed a report. And so we had 20 people, one of which was this guy named Ray.
Here's Ray.
We gotta get our act together a little bit better here. Sorry about that. So this is Ray. He's one of the people that came to our focus groups. He's one of the people that identified dogs as one of the things that was a barrier for him to be out on the trail system. And so we invited him to come back the next day before we started our next interview, and we gave him these walking sticks so that he could not only help him with walking, but also to keep those dogs away. And he really appreciated it. He was pretty excited because he had stopped walking on the trails because of that. So we asked a lot of questions to the participants, and you can see these are the themes that we used. You know, we asked them about positive aspects, physical activity, limiting aspects, positive aspects of a trail use specifically, and barriers. And then we asked them for advice on how to improve not only this trail but other trails, and so that we could learn from them. These are some of the things that they.
How are we doing?
These are some of the things that they said. You know, why did they like physical activity? You know, obviously the health benefits, the ability to get outdoors was positive, the ability to interact with other people, and you know, have some independence to say that they could participate in some of these activities. I think I'll move along. The time, you know, access issues we all know about, you know, not only, you know, the trail itself, but actually getting to the trail, you know, the curb cuts that aren't there, or the sidewalks that aren't there, the parking lots that aren't paved, that don't have access to the trail, many, many factors that contributed to the lack of access issue. Time limitations, like all of us, time is the number one factor why we say we don't exercise, but then we spend like 3 hours watching television, so, you know. Anyway, uncontrolled dogs, we talked about that one already. Depression and motivation, you know, we all know that it's a cycle. If we're depressed, you know, we sometimes don't get activity, but we know if we get activity, we feel less depressed. So just trying to get them to make it easier for them to actually get out there. Injury, sometimes when you don't feel good or you have some real limitations, it's very hard to get out. Lack of social support, especially if you are, you know, perhaps blind or have some visual limitations, having someone to go with is very helpful. So I know we're going to have to just go through these. Positive aspects of the trail, the connection with nature was big, you know, and the social opportunities, they would come, walk the trail, sit on the bench, talk to each other. That was a real positive experience. Feeling, you know, safe on the trail. There were parts of the trail that were very close to town, very, you know, lots of people would be on, but then there were other parts of the trail that were further out, so they felt less safe on those parts. I think you can see some of these others. Barriers, we talked about the dogs. The risk of injury, this was the safety issue way out on the trail. Okay. And then these are some of the suggestions. The safety thing we talked about, having call boxes late, you know, further out on the trail, signage and things that would tell people more about the trail, and we'll talk about some of those coming up.
So I just have to quickly say we'll share it all, so call us. And then our contact information is here, or you can just Google one of us and you'll get our contact. It's really a treat to be a part of this partnership. I go to these health conferences and maybe like you feel like a little bit of the fish out of the water. Well, now I go and I see Mayor Townsend talking about the importance of including people with disabilities as part of the rural initiative on webinars at conferences, on listservs, and then also by word of mouth we're getting good feedback. And then MILP is promoting positive aspects of the trail on their website and through their newsletters. The mapping used to happen, that's the old mayor showing me a map on the ground, drawing where the trail is. As a part of this, we created a map through GPS coordinates, recorded during the trail assessment, and after trail improvements are complete, a printable map will be commissioned and distributed. Importantly, Montec has an interactive, searchable website. So now this is all listed there. So if you are looking for an accessible hiking opportunity in that part of Montana, this will come up with all the information you will need to have to plan for that event. And just some quick before and afters, the mayor's gotten his, he's written 10 grants. He's partnered with MSU School of Architecture. Here's the old one, the old, and here's his new bridge. You can see a nice smooth threshold, he gets it. While they're putting in the new bridge, he says to the guy, oh, and while you're here, could you make a parking lot for us? So they have, and we've referred him to MILP to provide technical assistance on the signage. You'll see he's almost there, but there aren't posted signs. And then the bathrooms look better, and that's Montana's trying to get in when it's locked. There's bullet holes. But thanks so much, and thanks to Gene Townsend.